Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. I hope everybody's doing fine. Of course, we've got in the news today more news that really isn't going anywhere. I've told you that there is going to be this ratcheting. There will be more of an ominous threat of what we're doing with Iran, and we'll get into that later. But what I want to really get into is something that's kind of still lingering out there, because the morons in charge of the House of Representatives are a clear and present danger to our liberty. These folks that think they have their hands on the purse are literally putting us into a position that they believe that they can actually get us out. And so I want to get into the details of the consequences of what these guys are doing, because, as you know, they honestly think that the government purse is unlimited to any type of things. So because we've been violating the Constitution, because we've been pouring out unconstitutional spending and money on so many different things, that, well, why not, you know, just give a huge handout for the ancestors of slavery? And how, I guess this would really spark a great effort in genealogy, so people could start proving that they have these descendants and so forth. But I think this is a slap in the face to Israel. I think this is a slap in the face of most people that were actually slaves at the time, because I think only if the fool wants to stand around and, you know, tell their former slave master that, yeah, you owe us reparations, or the government that kind of protected that. You got to understand, slavery was a form of life in how, not that it was right, but it was a form of, it was just a standard part of life. Like men wear belts to hold up their britches, and women pierce their ears to hold earrings. I mean, it is pretty standard in what people understand. That's what you do. You're going to put earrings on your ear, then you go pierce them. I mean, there are the non-piercing, but either way, the point I'm making is that yesterday it was clearly delineated that the federal government did not have a dog in the fight over slavery, because it was not given to the federal government as a delegated power. As I have been saying, it is an enumerated constitution. There were certain things that were defined regarding representation and regarding the importation of people. And so that was it. So the federal government in 1808 took over the full control of the importation of people. Plain and simple. Now, so we're going to get into a friend of mine who has a website out there, and I'll repeat this when we get there. But the guy's name is Bob Parks, and I want you to go to his website, because he talks about the big Democratic lie and the hyperbole that they like to use. If you go to blackandblondemedia.com, you will find a really good history line that kind of talks about the Democrats and the Republicans and what they did and what they didn't do. And you tell me who has been appropriating this, you know, the champions for the minorities and so forth. I am telling you that the Democratic Party has been so evil that they have literally rewritten history. They have convinced everybody. You got to understand that they run the education system, or I should say the communists. The communists took over the education system around the turn of the century of 1900. 1905, the Democratic Socialists were out, and the Industrial, the Democratic Socialists, and so forth, as they were changing their names to try to stay ahead of people. They were well out in front of moving everybody and convincing everybody that you are entitled, and what they're doing is enslaving people to the state because you're dependent on the state. You know, there's all those people that were dependent on Obama phones and are dependent on home, help me out here, food stamps, dependent on welfare, dependent on free health care, and so forth. I mean, if you have a job, you're getting penalized and paying for all this indolence. And the state is trying to create hyper-indolence and trying to create hyperinflation, because what ends up happening when they start writing checks and handing out money for nothing, that is inflation, because it is more money that is going into circulation. So we have some real problems that we're facing, everybody. And so I want to kind of get ahead of this, but what I want to do is when we get there, I want to actually go through Bob Parks's timeline. I'm going to go through a few of the points of his timeline. And there's one or two parts in there that I think the federal government was making some mistakes, but we'll get into that because it was going to violate the Constitution in doing some things. And so we'll get into that. But as you know, you're listening to the show that actually talks about the constitutional solutions. And so we need to put and try to remember that we have a very limited general government. The federal government does not have this big, huge checkbook that it can write checks for anything and everything. And this whole concept is so divisive. This whole concept of, you know, writing more checks for different people because of some heritage or so forth is absolutely a huge violation of the Constitution. And Cory Booker and everybody that is pushing for this to go forward, they are violating the Constitution. I'd love to see state governors with their attorney generals who actually admire, love, and embrace the Constitution. I'd like to see them going after these Democrats. I'd like to see them going after these leftist Marxists that are out there trying to stomp and trample and break America by shredding the Constitution. And there's no reason why these attorney generals aren't doing this. I'm actually trying to get some attorney generals to actually go after the states like Washington State, California, and other states that are claiming to be sanctuary states. Because what they're doing is they're putting all the rest of the states at risk by giving people voters' ID and driver's licenses and so forth who are not U.S. citizens. The federal government has that responsibility, and these states are violating that, and they ought to be closed down, seized, and every politician should be removed from office and actually banned from office for the rest of their life per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I was going to say Article 4, but in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. So that's we get into the details of how the Constitution should be used as the weapon in shutting down these liberal concepts, ideas, and the tomfoolery that they're getting away with. The Constitution does not allow those things to continue. And so there's ways of solving these problems by using the Constitution, friends. What are you going to do about it? As you sit and watch your evening news and you see these idiots talking about reparations, are you kidding me? Now, it's one thing, like I said yesterday, it's one thing to actually start going to Mississippi. It's one thing to go down to Georgia. It's one thing to go to the Carolinas and Alabama and Louisiana and the slave states and say, you know what, you owe our heritage, you know, some reparations. Now, good luck. But I'm telling you that the federal government does not have a constitutional responsibility, nor can they be responsible for anything that the states were doing. It wasn't their job. It was up to the states to dictate whether they wanted to embrace slavery or not. And it was a quickly moving concept, or I should say abolition was a quickly moving concept in the North, because I even read to you in the North Carolina ratification debates that Mr. Iredell, and I forget the other gentleman's name, but both of them were kind of pointing to, hey, you know, the northern states are getting rid of slavery. If we don't join, they may actually amend the Constitution and block slavery if you know, before we even get in there. That's why Georgia was so quick and South Carolina. I think South Carolina was one that kind of dragged their feet as well. But my point is that the southern states recognized that they had a good thing because they were at least given the opportunity to maintain slavery. And then Virginia, instead of taking the high road, they actually turned their backs on what their leaders were. And you can thank Patrick Henry and some of the other folk that were the anti-federalists because they wanted to, you know, continue to embrace slavery. And so it became more and more problematic from Virginia and South, that Mason-Dixie line. So anyway, the number to listen to this show, if you want and you can't stream it at any point in time, 605-562-4209. And again, that's 605-562-4209. We're going to get into some very myopic, I'll call it news du jour, or marketing, but I want you to start understanding. We're ripping at the seams here as a nation, and if you do not get involved, you are going to watch a lot of mayhem, and there's a good chance that you are going to get hurt. Your family, you could lose a lot of money. You could lose a lot if you do not get involved in saving our liberty and saving our Constitution. With that, we'll be right back after these two promos, and I'll explain why you're going to lose so much right after we get back. Thank you. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so as we were going into break, I was telling you that you stand to lose a lot. As a matter of fact, when this Republic, when our debt reaches a point, go look at the debt clock. Look at the unfunded liabilities. Look at the fact that nobody is working on solving the real problems of those unfunded liabilities and the rising debt. The only solution to all of that is Republic Review. So go look. Take a look. What is happening is that as that debt goes up, there comes a point when the debt is due. And guess who's responsible for the debt? Those with money. If you have no money, you lose nothing. If you're not heavily vested, you lose nothing. And if you look and if you do the studies on who has savings and who doesn't, it's usually the upper middle class that has some kind of savings. Maybe it's a little 401k, and that's not really considered savings. That's go look into it. You'll find that the your 401k and your retirement that is out there in the stock market. Now, I'm not talking about a fully vested retirement plan that very few people have anymore. Those things are gone. Bye-bye. I'm talking about the similar things to the 401k, and I forget what they are, 457 or something like that. Anyway, if you go look at how many people have actual savings, money in the bank, that they can actually live on their money in the bank, there's very few. There are a few people that have a few $1,000s. As a matter of fact, I've talked to my former employees when I used to manage a team, and these were great people. And I used to tell them that they should get to a point. I didn't tell the whole team. I'd tell them one, individuals one at a time. I would say you should have personal savings to where you actually have, 6 months of actual income in the bank. What happens if all of a sudden, though, the debt comes due? All the money that is sitting in those 401ks, all the money sitting in the holdings of banks and so forth actually become devalued. In other words, your dollar becomes pennies on the dollar, because whoever comes in and wants to foreclose, they want to, call out their debt, then they're going to get that money. Don't tell me that the federal government cannot seize the 401ks. They can. It has happened before. It's happened in Argentina. I think it was the 90s when they did that, or maybe it was the early 2000s. But either way, they did it. And I'm here to tell you that you're going to find that when the poo-poo hits the fan, when the poo-poo hits the fan, those trillions of dollars that are sitting in those locked down 401ks is going to be very attractive, because it's hard cash that's sitting there that you can't get to, that the federal government holds it away from you. You can get to it, but they penalize the crap out of you. So what happens? What happens to that money? Either it goes away, or you are left with just pennies on the dollar. And it's the same thing with the money in your account. Now, I'm here to tell you that those people with lots of money that lose a lot of money that way, they're still going to be ahead of those that have nothing. Because if you have nothing, you can't get below the bottom, right? And so you are going to stay on the bottom. But millionaires and billionaires and those people that might have, they're probably very well protected, because they're probably vested in, precious metals and other types of investments, land and so forth. And if they own it outright, if they're not owning the bank, they're free and clear. And that becomes tangible assets to them. But those people that are in debt to the bank, they don't own their home and that type of stuff, which is the majority of America. The majority of America is going to rue the day when that debt comes. And nobody's going to tell you when all of a sudden that financial crisis occurs and they're saying, you know what? We have to put aside the Constitution. Oh, by the way, we did it before unconstitutionally after the Civil War, and we're going to have to do it again, and we're going to have to allow these countries to foreclose on us because we were not diligent in adhering to the... You know what? At that point, I believe everybody would be screaming off with their heads. Now, here is the important thing. The states have the power to stop the federal government from being able to do this. The states actually can stand up and say, you can't do this. This is not your this is not your contract. This is ours. Nowhere in the Constitution does it give you the power to put aside that Constitution. Only we can do that. Sorry. Get back. And as a matter of fact, that should be the impetus. That should be the catalyst that forces the states to step in and actually stop any type of foreclosures, any type of debts due or what have you. And when they start saying, well, we're demanding something, then that's when we start handing over these federal politicians that have been responsible for running up the debt and violating the Constitution. Let them squeeze gold out of the minerals that their body holds. And they may not get any, but they can still squeeze them. And as a matter of fact, some of these debtors are pretty good at squeezing and getting things out of bodies, like China. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But let me just really jump through the fact that we do have ways you can support us, and we do need your support. Red State Coffee is available. You go to the link on reclaimingtherepublic.org and you can get your Red State Coffee grinds and or whole beans. This stuff is top notch. I would ask that if you want to support this show, if you like your coffee and you like good quality coffee, give this a try. And then after you are convinced how good it is, I would ask that you call 425-270-5416, 425-270-5416. That way you can tell us what you think of the quality of the coffee, because we want to start including your voice and your perspective on the quality of Red State Coffee. You're listening to Red State, you might as well have your Red State coffee as you listen. We also have the GoFundMe or the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. We are looking to try to get some kind of reimbursements for the travel that we have to engage in. That's all we're looking for. And what we're trying to do is get myself and somebody with a video camera to go and actually record so that we can actually capture what we're doing and what we're saying. And so we would ask that if you could help us, that would be one way you could actually help us. There are other ways, though. If you don't have money, you don't drink coffee, but you want to get involved, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. That way you can actually be a participant and a leader in your local community. Do not underestimate what you can do, what one person can do. The reason Wyoming has passed resolutions for Republic Review is because I made phone calls, met people, and actually got to know them and help them understand what this process is. You can do the exact same thing in your own state. So info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, I mentioned I was going to talk about a listener's letter, and I'll probably do that on Friday, just because the passion in the issues du jour have driven me to kind of focus on the big Democratic lie and how they're just being so divisive of what they're doing. As you know, there is no sign that the federal government is doing anything to unleash, or I should say, undo and release a lot of their unconstitutional powers. That means you and I, we're going to have to do this, folks. I hope it's time for you to commit and get involved. One way you can also get involved, and I don't say this that often, and I need to thank you for listening, but let people know. I would ask everybody to try to get two people to start listening to this show. Challenge them to listen for just give, tell them you want to listen, you want them to listen for a couple of weeks and then give you feedback. And then you can call me 425-270-5416, leave a message and give me feedback on what these guys are saying, what these gals are saying about Republic Review and how to actually fix the federal government to get it back into the framework of the Constitution. In doing this, I expect that this audience can grow twice, if not 200%. And then we want to continue to do that. You want these people that you just asked to join to get them to bring more people to the table by asking people to listen and tune in, download the podcast. That's how the message grows. So with that, I beg and plead, I beseech you to help get this this message out to more people by letting them know that there is actually a solution-based program out on Red State Talk Radio. It's called Reclaiming the Republic, and the host is G.R. Mobley, yours truly. So we will be right back after these two promos, and we're getting into the issues when we get back. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Now, anybody that's been listening to this show knows that I am merciless when it comes to the education system. I am pretty harsh in pointing my finger of judgment upon the educators, or I should say the indoctrinators of the kids of this republic. And I'm here to tell you that they're going, anybody that's been listening, like I said, they understand when I say that they're going to have their Bolshevik revolution by 2024. Now, one of the things that you may not know because you don't get G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, but there have been places in this republic that have been offering extracurricular activity for these kids in the indoctrination centers. And G. Edward Griffin points out at the St. Peter and Paul Church in Portland. Now, I just said St. Peter and Paul Church. I have not checked out
what denomination or faith this church is, but it's probably Catholic because St. Peter. Anyway, this is in Portland, Oregon, and they are hosting a social justice camp, Budding Roses, that target local children ages 10 to 13. Do you have any kids in that age group? You may want to make sure you know where they're going after school, and you may want to start making sure what they're being fed as far as curriculum and content. The camp is sponsored by the Black Rose Anarchist Federation that is affiliated with the violent leftist Antifa group. They are beginning to train kids in education now that in 2024 will be at that age, right? Okay, so that's 5 years away, kids that are 13 years age. That means that they'll be 18, they'll be adults. Why do you think they're targeting kids of that age? Because from 2024 to 2027, 2028, they're expecting their Bolshevik revolution. These kids foaming at the mouth, these kids that have been weaponized, as I've been telling you and telling you and telling you, these kids are going to vote away their liberties. They're going to vote away your Second Amendment rights, whether you like it or not. They're going to demand that the government confiscate, knock on your doors, and take your weapons. And that's how good this education system is. Isn't that great? It's the last bastion of freedom. Anyway, Portland's professional protesters, these same folks, have raided fur farms. They've set fire to SUVs and ski resorts. They've ran companies that they didn't like out of Portland. You've probably seen that in the news. They've threatened people with violence, attacked police officers. They pooped. Yeah, that's right, pooped on the American flag. They manufactured IEDs and Molotov cocktails, shot at least one person, and stopped thousands of Oregonians from going anywhere, shouted down and drowned out people they don't agree with, and done millions of dollars in damage to the downtown Portland area. Now they're passing along their bag of tricks to 10-year-old kids and 13-year-olds. Isn't that nice? I'm here to tell you, what they are doing is an absolute violation of the Constitution. And people do not have a right to protest. You do not have a right to take away the civil rights of another person engaging in commerce, going to work, or what have you. When you do, you have taken their civil rights, and you should be charged for violating the civil rights of other people. When they step out on the freeway, when they step out on the road and they stop traffic, they should be arrested. But our stupid, idiot policemen have been, what's a good word for it? They've been bamboozled into believing that that is a constitutional right. We need people to actually start charging these kids with violating your civil rights. That's how we have to get it back. Or we actually start instituting laws in states that shut this down to say, you do not have this civil right. You do not have the right to shut down the commerce of anybody, whether it be a company or an individual. G. Edward Griffin also goes down this path, and he's actually talking about something I've talked about a few times. I talk about quite a bit, actually. And he's talking about this live organ harvesting. And I've had Mitchell Nicholas Gerber on the show several times. And he's saying experts estimate that between 60,000 and 100,000 organs are transplanted annually in China as the country rakes in an eye-popping $10 billion to $20 billion in profits. The author makes the case that political dissidents and minorities are used as forced organ transplants. You've heard me say this, and he's actually informing people for maybe the first time if they've not been aware of this. and they offer the short wait time for organ recipients as evidence that donors are being slaughtered for the body parts. Virtually every organ transplant in China costs the life of an innocent human being. And we've talked about this several times here. So there's a gentleman named George who still has nightmares. He was interning at China's Xinyang Army General Hospital when he was drafted to be part of an organ harvest team. Okay? So I want you to understand what I just said. Here is an intern that was drafted to be a part of the organ harvesting team. The prisoner was brought in, tied hand and foot, but very much alive. The army doctor in charge sliced him open from chest to belly. And of course, there's no mention of any anesthesia. There's no mention of anything. So we have no idea if this guy was even given any type of painkillers or anything else so that he wouldn't be, you know, screaming or anything, because there's no mention of any of this. The army doctor sliced him open from chest to belly button and exposed his two kidneys, cut the veins and the arteries, he told his shocked intern. George did as he was told. Blood spurted everywhere. The next step was that the kidneys were placed in an organ transplant container. Then the doctor ordered George to remove the man's eyeballs. Hearing that, the dying prisoner gave a look at George of sheer terror, and George froze and he said, "I can't do it." He told the doctor, "I just can't do it," who then quickly scooped out the man's eyeballs himself. George was so unnerved by what he had seen that he soon quit his job at the hospital and returned home. Later, afraid that he might be the next victim of China's forced organ transplant business, he fled to Canada and assumed a new identity. A first person's account like George's are understandably rare. The transplant tourists who come to China are naturally told nothing about the donors of their new heart, liver, or kidney. And those who are executed for their organs tell no tells. And again, going through the numbers, the experts are estimating from 60 to 100,000 organ transplants. And again, this is ratcheting up somewhere between $10 to $20 billion a year for China. And this money is going straight into buying and improving their armed forces and their military, because they are they're the Chinese Communist Party, and they are seeking world and global dominance. They're looking to knock us off that top tier. And they're also probably looking at, you know, colluding with all the rest of the communist, if you want to call them countries, nations, states, or what have you. They're all doing everything they can to knock us down. And where do these hundreds of thousands of organs come from? As you've been listening to this show, you understand that this young man who had his kidneys fatally removed from him and he was in good health, well, you know for a fact that this is all being exposed. And Ethan Gutman and Nicholas Gerber are telling us exactly who these folks are. These are political prisoners, and they're also called the Falun Gong. And if you understand what the heck's been going on, this has been, these people have been prisoners since 1999. And hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of the group's followers have been arrested, not even 100,000. I'm telling you that there are about 300 million, because that's what Mitchell Nicholas Gerber has told us. And so G. Edward Griffin may need to get his numbers checked out, but I'm telling you that there are 300 million. They're not dissidents. These are political prisoners in China. What the heck? And when you start hearing some things like this from George, you know, when people are actually testifying and coming out and going, "Oh my gosh, I couldn't do this." Where's the rest of the Georges in China? See, I've got a real problem with this, right? I mean, how come more people are not becoming Georges and running for their lives? This is how successful the indoctrination process is. You know, if you have not watched The Sound of Music, you should go watch it so that you can see what happened with that young Nazi lover of this girl that was in the Von Trapp family when he saw them and how he blew the whistle. We'll be right back after this.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so who was that idiot that called himself Spartacus? Oh yeah, Sparky Booker. So I think if Trump wants to come up with a good nickname for Cory Booker, he should just call him Sparky. So Sparky is taking jabs at Joe. This is all around this whole reparations crap that the federal government is having a conversation of something that has no authority to even be involved in. And so he's taking jabs at Plugs Biden. I think that's what Levin calls him. But Joe, working with two segregationist Southern senators to get things done, and he's demanding that Joe apologize, and Joe's not going to apologize. And here is another example of just how divisive people are. And I'll even go down the road of saying how divisive minorities are in the Democratic Party. I find it interesting that the roosts, or I should say the chickens, are coming home to roost in the Democratic Party. At the very beginning of the show, I invited you to go to Bob Park's website. It's called blackandblondemedia.com. Right there on his website, he has this whole timeline of the Democratic lie. And if you actually look, it's, you know, there's the skim, the Democratic lie, hate hoaxes and so forth, the memes and all of that. And if you start at the very, 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 very top, you'll notice that he has a few assertions here. Now, some of the things I'm just going to point out that I, you know, because most historians have not challenged, or I should say very few people challenge the revisionist history. And on the very top, he says that the Republican Party is officially founded as an abolitionist party. They may have formally taken the abolitionist position, but the Republican Party was initiated back in the 1798,
6, when Adams was elected and Jefferson was actually positioning to run against him. I think it was actually maybe 5 or 4. It was towards the end of Washington's last term in office. And what ended up happening was they started actually helping people understand the differences in the positions of the Federalists as from the Republicans. Nevertheless, the Republican Party has always been an individual liberty and individual sovereignty party until Abraham Lincoln came along. And then all of a sudden it was big government. They were against slavery, and that was a historical truth, but they did become a big government party in 1854. Going on, and so what I want to do is I kind of want to walk through a couple of the timeline events. April 8th, 1864, the 13th Amendment banning slavery passed the U.S. Senate with 100% Republican support, 63% Democrat opposition. So in other words, only, what was that, 37% of the Democrats actually voted for it? And probably those 37% Democrats were probably in the North. January 31st, 1865, the 13th Amendment banning slavery passed the U.S. House and unanimous Republican support and intense Democrat opposition. Interesting. See, why aren't they telling you this in the education system? Why does this stuff not come out? Because these are actually pretty clear facts you can find. November 22nd, 1865, Republicans denounced the Democrat legislature of Mississippi for enacting the Black Codes, which institutionalized racial discrimination, which we also call the Jim Crow laws. This was the beginning of the Jim Crow laws. And so remember what I said, that if you want to get your pound of flesh, if those who are descendants of slaves, and you've got the genealogy and you prove that, and you want to go sue, this is where you start. You start with Mississippi, because the federal government does not have a dog in this. Here's the interesting thing. February 5th, 1866, U.S. Representative Thaddeus Stevens, a Republican from Pennsylvania, introduced legislation successfully opposed by Democratic President Andrew Johnson to implement 40 acres and a mule relief by distributing land to former slaves. Here's the problem. It was unconstitutional. I don't know what President Andrew Johnson's position was, but the federal government can't do that. They don't own any land. Their ability to own and possess land was limited to territories, and those territories were in conservatorship to become states. Only the states have the authority to administer land in that manner and in that fashion. The federal government was overreaching, even though this seemed like it was nice and it was a noble thing and people would have loved it, unconstitutional. And so everybody that sees this kind of crap and goes, well, we got to do this now. No, it's still unconstitutional today. Show me in the Constitution where we've amended it, where the states have allowed the federal government to take state property and take it from the state and give it to a person. They can't do that. Or if they can, then they can start taking it away from private owners and giving it to public owners or actually companies and so forth and so on. That is... If you start to understand the evil of doing that, that is, you know, about as evil as this nation could become. March 27th, 1866, Democratic President Andrew Johnson vetoed law granting voting rights to blacks. May 10th, 1866, the U.S. House passed the Republicans' 14th Amendment guaranteeing due process and equal protection of the laws to all citizens. 100% of the Democrats voted no. June 8, 1866, the U.S. Senate passed the Republicans' 14th Amendment guaranteeing due process. So the House passed it in May 10th. June 8th, the Senate passed it, and so it guaranteed the due process. And the Republicans, of course, like always, voted 100%, and the Democrats 100% voted against it.
And oh, my correction, 94% of the Republicans voted yes out of the Senate. Okay, so March 27th, 1866, the Democratic President Andrew Johnson vetoed a law granting voting rights to blacks in the District of Columbia. Now, remember that who has the exclusive legislative rights over the District of Columbia? Congress does. And so July 16th, just a few months later, 1866, the Republican Congress overrode Democratic President Andrew Johnson's veto of legislation protecting the voting rights of blacks. Trying to give you a really good picture of how things were going down from the Democrats at the very, very beginning. Let's move a little bit further forward, though, in time. Let's go to September 24th. So if you go to this timeline, he clicks all the way through the 1800s, early 1900s, and so forth. I mean, it's a very long timeline. And oh, by the way, Mr. Parks gave me the permission to cut and paste and copy this into my first book. So I provided what he basically articulated and copied and cited and so forth. I just kind of copied and cited it back to him so that he got the credit out of my first book. So you can actually see this whole timeline both on his website and it's also in my first book. September 24th, 1957, sparking criticism from Democrats such as Senator John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, President Eisenhower deployed the 82nd Airborne Division to Little Rock, Arkansas to force Democratic Governor Orville Faubus to integrate their public schools. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm showing you something where we, because we were trying to do the right thing, violated the Constitution. The federal government did not have the power to do this. You got to understand, in 1953, Eisenhower also violated the Constitution by creating the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Again, right, wrong, or indifferent, violating the Constitution is wrong. You have to amend the Constitution and delegate them these powers. And I'm telling you, folks, we're far better off actually forcing the states to do the right thing and not let the federal government have those amendments and those constitutional powers to be able to do it. Because look at how bad they can be in trying to be the noble cop. May 6, 1960, President Eisenhower signed the Republican Civil Rights Act of 1960, overcoming a 125-hour round-the-clock filibuster by the 18 Senate Democrats. And so the Civil Rights Act of 1960 was passed. May 2nd, 1963, Republicans condemned Bull Connor, the Democrat commissioner for public safety in Birmingham, Alabama, for arresting over 2,000 black school children marching for their civil rights. I'm telling you, folks, you need to go through this so that you can actually start seeing the truth about what the heck the Democrats really stand for. And then you can actually ask Mr. Sparky, hey, why is it that you're a Democrat? Because everything about the Democratic Party only proves that they're divisive. Oh, that's right. You're being divisive over this whole reparations and everything else. In other words, you're being exclusive instead of being inclusive. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and our Constitution is our weapon as well as our defense. And we're reclaiming the Republic, but we need your help. So God bless. We'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to dive into Baphomet. Talk to you later. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. www.takeactionpodcast.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.